When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazzala. With me, as always, Kristen Studdard.
That's me.
Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
We are in the thick of it. It's nomination season. The nominees have been announced. We've had a few weeks to digest them. If you're just joining us for the first time, the whole deal is that I am obsessed with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Kristen...
I am not. I'm solidly in the not obsessed category. Mm-hmm. I'm getting into the tolerates it as a concept category.
Every once in a while we get bursts of you caring for real, and it is, if I may, very funny.
It is upsetting.
Because you find yourself...
Because I find myself wondering who I am and how I have spent 27 hours of my life plus talking and thinking about this institution.
It's, to me, beautiful.
What a delight.
Let's bring in our guest for this episode, very talented musician, a friend to all comedians, I would say. We're so excited and happy to have him. It's Michael Cronin.
Hey. Hooray. Hello.
Hey now. Yeah. Michael, thank you for joining us and being
Thanks
a part of this.
That's great.
I recognize you, like probably many of our guests, maybe don't necessarily have a connection to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
or even like almost like most people, I would say. I'd say plenty of folks,
or even much of an awareness. But I guess I don't really know. I would love to, just to start off, get a sense of your thoughts on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, what you even know about it, because it is kind of a secretive institution that
the secret cabal.
It hides in the shadows of pop culture, but. I'd love to hear.
I think it was only like the last, maybe last year when I started to try to look into how the voting went.
Wait, and why?
Just, I think it was, I was confused about the nominees.
Great.
Okay,
great.
Sure.
Great. Uh-huh. This is a good place
maybe
to start.
Maybe a little confused about the whoever gets in. Mm-hmm. I forget who it was last year.
So last year we had Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. The Moody Blues, Dire Straits, The Cars, and Nina Simone.
It was a terrible year.
It was
first year that I ever cared about care in quotes.
Yeah, that I made her care.
It was the first year that this, when we paid attention, and it was a very bad year, and it was a boring ceremony.
Yes, and if you look at the nominees from last year, it's like a much better list.
That's where my conflict was at in my head.
Was there anybody nominated last year? Do you remember anyone nominated last year that you were like, oh, I hope they get in? And then you were like, cool, the Moody Blues.
Like the
Joe can probably tell you off the top of his head
that weren't going to get in.
I mean, the biggest snub of last year, not necessarily a punk band, but Radiohead was up.
Oh, okay.
Did not get in.
They did not get in.
And that was a huge...
They had to make space for the Moody Blues and Dire Straits.
Of course.
Makes sense. These
legends.
Their legacies.
But are Radiohead nominated again?
They are nominated again.
Okay.
You know, last year I would have said they get in immediately just because they're Radiohead.
Right.
Now, I don't know what to believe. I'm predicting that they'll get inducted again.
Who knows?
But if they didn't get it, when
were they were my, did I pick them? No, I picked
in the draft.
Yeah,
we did.
Do
a,
I have
Michael
them?
We did a draft.
Oh yeah, we did a draft.
Ooh, yes.
Who do I have? Do you know I have
you have the zombies and do you have, you do, I think have, you do have Radiohead,
I think. And do I also,
you
have
one more?
Do I have LL Cool J as well?
You do have LL
I think
Cool J.
I have LL Cool J as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Three of the five, six people I drafted are nominated this year.
Yeah,
it's made good numbers.
This is last year's draft.
This is this year's draft. So all those bands are nominated again, and were nominated last year.
Wow, okay.
So yeah, the Zombies and Radiohead and LL Cool J were all on the ballot last year, lost out to Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Same with Judas Priest and the Eurythmics and, Link Ray, Rage Against the Machine, a lot of
Rage will get in this year, don't you think?
I do not think.
Oh boy.
How many do they, is it six each year?
It's five, at most six.
Okay.
They did five last
year.
It's
like five and then a woman. Or it's like, okay. It's kind of the vibe the that it is.
Five
yeah. Or it's like five and then a person of color. Or five and then a woman of color, which was last year.
That's
so right. Well, you know, it was, but Nina was part of the five.
Yes.
She was part of the five. And then they added an additional black woman with Sister Rosetta Tharpe.
And that was cool. I enjoyed learning about her. She was neat. She was the coolest thing that I saw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the induction that the hall controls, you know, because it was in a special category. So instead of making the voting body is bad, and it's mostly comprised of people who have already been inducted. So, you know, it's like the dudes from Journey and Yes.
Oh.
Voting.
They each get a vote. And then all of the different bases that they've had over time also get a vote. And...
Hmm. Yeah, it's a messed up process because the nominee list tends to be pretty good, you know, and that's, you know, that comes from a group of about 30 people who kind of know what they're talking about, journalists and some musicians and industry people, and then that list goes out to the voting body, which includes mostly people who've been inducted, in addition to other, you know, music people.
Okay.
And then those people usually fuck it up. They tend to pick the
now,
five.
This year, it would be incredibly hard to fuck up.
Yes.
This year, for some reason, I like to think it's because I started paying attention.
Mm-hmm. You're getting your voice out there and the people are listening.
People are listening. I've got a lot of sway.
It would be much more difficult to fuck this year up than in previous years.
Yeah, looking at the nominees, it looks like
it's decent.
Someone decent will get in.
Yeah. At least two decent. I think it would be really hard to get all five. I don't think that you could make a list of five.
So we tried this before, and I think we should try it again.
Okay. Okay.
Try to make the most boring list out of the nominees that we can.
The ones that will win.
So, I think I've said it before. I don't dislike Def Leppard. But if you want to look here.
I'll pull it up.
Pull up the list. So Def Leppard, I think, is definitely getting in, just based on what we know about the voting body and who they tend to vote in. I feel like if they vote in Bon Jovi, they're going to vote in Def Leppard.
Yeah.
I think Def Leppard's way better than Bon Jovi, and I don't care
as
much.
He's got a big old soft spot for Def Leppard. He likes him.
But if we're making a disappointing list of inductees, I think I would put Def Leppard in there.
Okay.
I think then, I mean, after that, I think... Although I like Todd Rundgren, like he does kind of represent dad rock in a way.
I don't know. I like him more than a lot of things.
I like him.
But
what about the
list?
I know. I'm looking at the list. I'm like,
so that's the thing. If he gets in, we can't really
I wouldn't be even that mad. I wouldn't be mad at all. I think Hello It's Me is I just love that song.
It's a groove.
I talk about it every time it comes up. He comes up.
I think Stevie Nicks is, you know, she's in with Fleetwood Mac already. I don't know that her solo career is that exciting, especially compared to the other artists here.
Oh, that's interesting. So they're already in, of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
Edge of 17 is a, like, I mean, it slaps.
Yeah.
I think is what the kids would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave us Bootylicious as well.
I would be less excited, though, about her than anyone. And I also, I mean, I hate to do this. I think Rufus with Chaka Khan would be cool, but like, how many songs by Rufus can you name?
That I feel for you.
That's Chaka Khan solo.
So what's Rufus?
Rufus is Tell Me Something Good.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
And what else?
And then I think Ain't Nobody is technically Rufus.
Okay, but that's Chaka Khan.
They
all are.
I mean, I think it's technically Rufus.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, I think Rufus is good.
It'd still be hard to screw this up. There really isn't. I just wouldn't be mad about five. You can't put together a list from this list. You cannot pare this down. If Janet Jackson doesn't get in, I will genuinely be angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I have a lot of anger about her, you know, dismissal already. Her lack of inclusion. I'm pretty mad.
Even the fan vote is not... doing poorly, like it's looking at who they're picking, because that's a good judge for what kind of the populist picks are.
Yeah,
like if a bunch of bored retired dads are just on here voting constantly.
Can you vote online too? It's not just at the hall?
So this is...
You just looked at me like I was insane, that I did not know.
You have to visit the hall?
He just...
So there
like,
is...
Like, I should know... I went to the hall. I went to the hall because the actual I was museum. Visiting someone in Cleveland. It wasn't like a pilgrimage.
So, okay. No, there is a... There is a
clear my name. Okay.
There is an online fan vote.
It's online as well. So that's separate
from
the hall.
It's completely separate because this is voting on the actual nominees.
Once the nominees have been out, then
yes.
then online you can go on and vote.
And wherever this lands, the top five vote getters comprise one ballot. The fans get one ballot that counts as part
like
of one out of 1,000.
1,000th of a yeah. vote. Oh, the and like each fan who votes gets 1/1,000th of 1/1,000th of a vote, or like 1/100,000th of 1/1,000th of a vote.
But you can, when you look at the results of the fan vote, you can kind of tell who's going to get maybe 3 out of 5 of the slots based on, because it's a good judge of like populism.
Can we see the vote right now?
You want me to start from number 5 and I'll just count it down for you?
Yeah.
So
coming in at number 5. Can I guess what the top 5?
Oh,
of,
for sure. You should both try to guess.
Great. Okay. I think that coming in at number 5 is going to be Rage Against the Machine.
Do you want to just tell me the 5
okay.
that you think?
I think the number 1 from the fans, I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number okay. 1 from the fans, I think it's going to be Def Leppard.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, I think is going to be Stevie Nicks.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, I think is Rage. 4, Zombies. 5, Janet Jackson.
Okay. Michael,
very
what do you think?
Okay.
This is based on...
This is hard.
I just think of that because I know that Janet Jackson has a very active online fan community, mm-hmm. and I think that could, you know, maybe override the dad vote.
Right. Interesting.
Also, maybe dads got excited when they saw her single boob for a second mm-hmm. on...
See that ninja star on that nipple?
Yeah.
So dads are number 1 for Def Leppard.
That's what I think. Okay. But this is just...
But Michael, you let
yeah,
yourself...
You let yourself
comprise
let your mind
what you
wander.
Think the public at large would vote.
All right. Number 5, we got The Cure.
Are you going to say The Cure at number 5?
Yes. Number 4, we got Devo.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I think that you're letting your heart be your guide.
This is my
this
heart.
This is your wishful public, huh?
Number 3 is that's probably Janet Jackson.
Okay.
I think number 2 Do you think it's Radiohead? Are they making it?
Locking in with Radiohead for number 2. And what do you think the number 1 vote getter is?
Number 1 is Janet Jackson. Did I say that?
I think you did.
She was number 3,
this
I think.
This is really scientific. She's number 3. That was one number ago. Let's just say MC5, number 1.
All right, so
seems legit. That. Good guess.
See, I don't know how to pick this. It's hard to get in the heads of these.
You have to think dumb.
Dumb.
Yeah, you
I think you
got to
think like super basic
like
knowledge.
What somebody at what someone everyone's heard of. What someone that like maybe at a state fair.
Yeah.
Someone that would play a state fair.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow. I actually think the state fair circuit is a good predictor. That puts did I say the Zombies in mine?
I think so. Yes, you did.
Okay, because I think that's a good predictor of like who mm-hmm. would, like kind of who could do the state fair circuit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like who does everyone know? Who do people recognize? That's kind of a good check mark.
Okay.
So that being said, the band with the least amount of votes in the fan vote is MC5.
Yeah.
They are. Now, I mean, a lot of people are voting on this thing. They have the least amount of votes with 40,799.
Dang.
Which is a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot of votes.
But it goes MC5, and then the second to last is Kraftwerk, and then Rufus, and then John Prine. That makes sense, because those are four, like, relatively obscure if you don't know your music shit.
Yeah.
Then after that is LL Cool J, which
the ladies love him.
They do, I've heard. But I think that's an anti-rap bias from the people who are voting.
Yeah. The state fair crowd, if you will. That's how I'm going to label them now.
The next is Roxy Music.
This is all making a lot of sense.
And then the next after that is Rage Against the Machine.
Dang.
Pretty Low. And then Radiohead.
Dang.
Then Devo.
Whoa, Devo ahead of Radiohead and Rage in the fan vote.
I think it's that older set.
Yeah, I think so too.
Might be time.
Then Janet coming in at number 6.
All right.
And then she has 103,128. And then a pretty big jump to number 5, the Zombies. Ooh. Who have 127,105.
Yeah. The people are, I think that they're going to get in this year. I really do.
I mean.
And not just for my fantasy draft.
Then the next.
And not just because they've been interacting with you on Twitter. But like
they have
the Zombies are they have an active social media, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Someone who's whoever's running the Zombies Twitter is like doing a good job.
They gets it.
Then a pretty big jump to number 4, The Cure.
Joe!
143,667.
Did you not pick The Cure this year? You didn't, did you?
Not in the draft of 6. Wow. Yeah, I know.
Wow.
And then number 3, pretty neck and neck with The Cure, Todd Rundgren.
Dang.
That's surprising.
But I guess that, like, it's dad rock, you know? Yeah. It's appealing to dads.
Not undeserved.
And then 1 and 2. Number 2 is Stevie Nicks. Number 1 is Def Leppard. So you got that on point,
Kristen. Yeah, it's going to be Stevie and Def.
Yeah, I think they're going to... I think... Yeah. I don't know.
Based on what I know, which is too much, I think it's going to be them.
Mm-hmm. I think they're getting in.
I think they're getting in. And then beyond that, it's like... I mean, what's the top 5? It's Stevie...
Def Leppard, Stevie Nicks, Todd Rundgren, The Cure, and The Zombies.
That is kind of the most boring of the way you could do it. Like, to me, that's, like, fine, but lot of the exciting ones.
But The Cure, as you know, The Cure, I think,
But The Cure getting in would be really great.
That would be incredible.
And it would open the tributary for a lot of bands that we both like a lot.
Have they been nominated before?
They were nominated once in 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
They seems are to make sense. Joe's biggest snub. They are who they think, that's who he thinks should be in it the most that has not been.
You could throw me a name of an artist that's not in the hall and I could come up with a reason why I think they're not in. But if The Cure, I can't. That's like, and also Radiohead at this point. Radiohead might be a bigger snub. I mean, but it's been so short-lived. But The Cure have been long-standing.
But is there a 20, you have to... Wait 20 years? 25 years from
after
the
your
first
recording.
Album?
Okay. Yeah.
So when was Radiohead?
Radiohead became eligible last year.
Oh,
and so
okay.
they were nominated the first year of eligibility.
That's what we like to call FYE.
Okay.
If you are first year eligible.
First year eligible.
And you get in.
And you get in, you're
that's
an FYE.
Huge.
Yeah.
Who's on that list?
Who's FYE so, this year?
There are no FYEs this
None.
Year.
None. Oh. Who was eligible that didn't get nommed? Sheryl Crow.
Yes. Outkast.
I remember that. Outkast, that's
Outkast,
right.
I thought was going to be on the ballot just because I think
really?
They're so great.
Yeah. But there is a real anti-rap bias.
So Outkast and
this.
Snoop Dogg were both eligible this year. So was Beck, which seemed like
wow, those are all
been.
People I would have.
I could see Beck in the next like 5-10 years.
Maybe. I think so.
Does he show up to events?
Mm-hmm. He performed at the Lou Reed. Tribute
in like a skinny tie for sure.
He had a hat.
is there an aspect of like playing ball with this?
I think so.
Yes,
with the institution,
there are politics to be had.
So
there definitely are.
Someone who shows up to the induction ceremonies a lot is Eddie Vedder, and I think Pearl Jam is deserving of getting in their first year of eligibility, but it was no question they got in as soon as they were eligible two years ago.
Although someone who is on the nominating committee, Tom Morello.
Who shows up a lot and plays ball a lot, and Rage did not get in last year, and I don't think they're getting in this year.
But he's on the nomination committee.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has inducted several people. And
inducted meaning he gave the speech to like put them in.
Yeah.
Do you vote for yourself?
I bet he does.
Now, my big question is, then do you think maybe they're not putting him in to show that they don't have bias?
I think there are people like, let's say, the members of the Moody Blues who are not thinking about it, who are just like,
who are like, oh, my buddy Todd needs to get in.
Yeah, my friend Colin from The Zombies should be in.
Yes. Oh, for sure. See, oh, my God, the Moody Blues, that's 5 votes for The Zombies right there.
At least.
When they put them in last year. Yeah. How many people were inducted with the Moody Blues? 5?
Oh, I'm never going to know that number. I'm going to keep myself from that number. And also, that number will decrease as the years go by.
Because
those dudes is like 90.
But they were very happy to be there. Mm-hmm. That was the one
charming aspect of it.
I really did not enjoy most of the parts of their induction, but that was nice that they liked being there. But it felt, I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, the boys club aspect of it is interesting to me.
Oh, it's very interesting to me as well. Oh, I talk about it all the dang time. It's gross.
Yeah, it was a pretty poor showing this year. Even though this list is good, there are not a lot. I mean, there are 3 women, and one is in a group, Rufus, that is comprised of 9 guys. You know, so it's almost like 1/10.
Yeah,
it's not good. But you know, I think Stevie has a good shot.
I feel like Stevie's almost a lock.
I think Stevie's gonna get in, and I'm cool with that. I'm like here for it. I understand. Like, it's 2018. I live in Los Angeles. I know a lot of people who would probably say something to the effect of Stevie Nicks is my spirit animal,
mm-hmm.
or Stevie Nicks is my spirit guide, or Stevie Nicks is a goddess.
Mm-hmm. I stand a legend.
My crystals are named
Stevie
Nicks.
Stevie and Nicks.
My crystals, my cats.
I think Janet also.
Dogs.
I think Janet has a good shot this year, though. I think
all the LA things. Janet better.
I mean, Janet has as good of a shot as she's ever had.
And I want to tell you, I do stan a legend with Janet.
Good.
Has she been snubbed a few times before?
Yeah, yes. So she's been nominated twice before, in 2016 and 2017.
That's too many snubs.
I know. For someone who's as important.
A bunch of stuff came out recently that like Les Moonves was actively trying to suppress her career
and
success. And did it.
Oh.
He did it.
She was blacklisted in a very real way.
And songs to be stopped being played on all of the Viacom properties because they're associated with CBS. He tried to pull her book from Simon & Schuster. He actively was angry because she did not show enough deference to him in apologizing for
the Super Bowl incident.
Aww.
Yes.
Which was totally not her goddamn fault. This is enraging, and
flip
I am
the
mad.
Table.
Yeah, Kristen just stood up and punched the wall.
I did.
It was insane.
Yeah. Well, guys, listen.
Well, let's talk a little bit then about the band that is at the very bottom of the fan vote list. A band that has been nominated. This is their 4th nomination. They were nominated in 2003.
Wow.
And then
what was their first year of eligibility?
Their first year of eligibility was 92. Because this is a band that came out in the mid to late 60s. This is their 3rd year in a row being nominated. So they were nominated in 17, 18, and now 19 after a long absence.
Who do you think is like doing the nomming in the com? Like, who's nomming them in the com? Who's standing
you need
over
to
that hokey?
Translate that for Michael. Because
the nom-com is the nominating committee.
The committee. Yeah.
Got it. It makes sense. I think it's pretty intuitive.
Of course, we're talking about the MC5, the Motor City 5. And,
That's okay.
So one of their albums called Back in the USA was produced by a guy named John Landau, who is the chairman of the hall. I wouldn't be shocked if he was bringing up their name.
Interesting.
Although I don't know that for sure. I'm sure there's other people who are in the mix who are bringing them up. I know that they did not love his production of that album. It is considered to be a classic album.
He was the manager of who?
Springsteen,
yeah. Okay.
Primarily. And I think he's also, I mean, he's like a big time manager. Springsteen is the big one.
So do you think Lil Stevie also got in there and was like, I'm going to back up my man Landau?
I don't know. I think Stevie's too caught up in the Jay Giles band to really think too much about it.
The Jay Giles band keeps getting nominated as well.
Hey, like, not this year, which was so great.
How many times has it been nominated?
5.
Oh, no.
Like, excuse
and
it, me.
And
showing
it,
up
and
in
and
your
Janet
suit.
Janet Jackson cannot be in the goddamn rock.
Well, Jay Giles are not. So
I know. I'm just saying, like,
They've come up more than Janet.
They've
has.
Come up more than Janet. Has Pat, how many times has she ever been nominated?
Benatar? Never.
She's never been nominated.
Never been nommed.
Hmm.
I want to say I'm sorry to you and yours. Michael, but I'm curious about your connection to the MC5, how you feel about these guys.
May I begin?
By saying you don't know anything about this band.
Let me, hold on. Hey, listen, I'm not your dumb wife.
Okay.
We had someone who reviewed our podcast. Saying
and
that,
I think it was my theory is that they reviewed the wrong podcast.
they were like the wife acts dumb, wife acts like a stupid baby.
Yeah, dumb. Whoa. Yeah, dumb wife.
Which wow. is hilarious, like on several levels is upsetting because I'm not Joe's wife or partner in nope. any way. And I don't act dumb on the podcast.
I don't think so. Like, certainly not like a baby.
And like certainly not like a baby. Stupid baby or a dumb
baby's
baby.
Baby's already dumb.
Yeah. So that's okay. Even...
Anyway.
So anyway, but
Kristen's thoughts.
Well, when it comes to the MC5, I kind of am a stupid baby, guys. here's some things that I know about them. I know the phrase kick out the jams.
Do you know it from this podcast?
No, I know it from, I know that that is that song. I know it's the beginning of that song.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
And you had heard it before this podcast.
I have heard it before this podcast, but I wouldn't have been able to place it.
Sure.
And that's it. That's where we're at.
Okay.
And I know, and MC5, I always in my head just think of the rap collective Jurassic 5 from the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. You hear,
early 2000s.
I hear the number 5, I get it.
I hear the number you're, 5, and I think J5.
It's a lot
Jurassic
of fives.
5. Charlie Tuna.
Ben Folds.
Maroon.
Ben Folds. Maroon, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I will say that
four
during
fighting.
Our sound check, 5 for fighting.
During sound check.
During soundcheck, you played. I was
some
like,
stuff.
This is going to be a band that I'm really going to like, and so I'm interested.
Cool. All right, Michael, go
yeah.
off,
yeah.
King. I'm curious. Yeah, I'm just curious about like your thoughts on this band and why you chose them. And
well, I'm no expert, but they do rock. And this being the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
they're maybe the most rocking on this list.
If you kind of break down in terms of just pure like
rock,
yeah, guttural, just cathartic rock and roll,
oomph.
Yeah, and just fucking it up,
yeah. I so
kicking out the jams,
for example,
out the jams from Detroit, like you said, mid like late 60s, early mm-hmm. 70s. I think they're only around properly for like 3 or 4 years.
Correct. Yeah.
And
3 proper albums, including a live one. And yeah. then they were, yeah, they kind of flamed out.
Had a hell of a time while they were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Very politically charged. Had a very politically crazy time in Detroit, where mm-hmm. it was crazy specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, that time, I mean, they were kind of at the epicenter of some really intense political movements.
Yeah.
They performed outside the 68 Democratic National Convention and were the only band to do so. All the other bands dropped out because they were scared.
What other bands were supposed to perform, do you know?
I think Neil Young was...
I guess he showed
he
up.
He was there.
But didn't
but did
play.
Not play.
Notorious fraidy cat Neil Young.
Yeah. Fucking coward.
Yeah. He's legendarily a coward. Did they play for 8 hours?
Because no one else was there. I think I read that as well.
They just kicked out the jams.
Whoa.
That's
for a long...
I mean, they had to dip into some covers.
Yeah. Or just extended hour-long jams of each song.
Yeah.
But that's what they're here to do. Just jam.
Right.
In my mind.
But jam in a different sense than jam has become.
Grateful Dead jam.
Not Grateful Dead, not
sleepy,
Fish jam, not
noodly.
Spaghetti Incident. What are they called? The
Spaghetti Incident.
Yeah, okay. For sure.
No noodles.
No noodles. They're not noodling. They're not noodling around.
No, they're not looking for the note. They are just hammering, probably fingers bleeding kind of jamming.
Yeah, straight up. So I think they're a very long shot to get as we can see, to actually get in.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's probably due to just lack of notoriety. That's going to be my... That's my hypothesis.
They never had a hit.
Right.
Joe
I jumped out of my seat.
Jumped out of his seat. He jumped out.
Because I need my special little sheet.
He got his special little sheet. If you, longtime fans of the podcast, will recall the envelope that Joe used to have all of the categories written down on. Now it's a special little sheet that he keeps hidden in the studio room behind a little book.
So that it never gets... I mean, I lost the envelope, so now I need a special little spot for my sheet. So he's got to
keep
his
special little sheet in his special little hidey place. And today's in the picture. I'm going to make you hold it.
Okay.
Just so that they can see the evolution of... Because the envelope was in a picture.
It was, and we didn't really call it out or identify what it was.
Yeah.
I just there was one picture of me holding an envelope for no reason. So the reason I grabbed this sheet is this is a list of potential criteria. Now, the Hall does not really publicize any. They say 25 years after your first recording. After that, they don't really list what it takes to get into the Hall. But having looked at previous inductees...
And had conversations with actual members of the nominating committee.
Ooh. True. On air.
On air.
We've been able to...
And in the DMs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all across the board. I've been able to come up with, I think, a list of categories where if you do well enough in them, it means you will be inducted.
Okay.
If you do poorly, that it can hurt you. So you don't have to do well in every category. You know, you can get a lot of points in one and I think be okay, but let's go ahead and go through these.
Great.
With the MC5, the first category is critical acclaim. And this is a band that I would say certainly
has
it.
They won a lot of Grammys.
It's weird. I don't even really think of the Grammys as critics. It feels like such a weird separate institution. Because like critical darling bands don't get nominated for Grammys, you know, and never really did. You know, every year the Grammys goes for, I mean, like, nothing against her, but like Katy Perry is up for a lot of Grammys usually. And it's like... Okay, because she had a very big record.
You don't think she's going to get in the Rock Hall?
That's for another episode.
Yeah, who knows, man?
Hey, she had more hits on her record than Michael Jackson, so...
Hey, right? That was quite a feat.
A couple years, we'll see.
We'll see how she stands up.
We'll see.
But I do think the MC5 has a lot of, especially after the fact, critical acclaim. Like, right now, they are pretty critically adored. Maybe at the time... They got beat up a little bit because
they were outside the 68 convention.
Well, sure, yeah. I didn't mean with batons. With literal bludgeoning. But I think especially being able to connect it to that movement has helped them over time critically. And
definitely.
I know at the time, like, Lester Bangs kind of went after them for being... I don't know. I mean,
why didn't he like them?
Because he was a salty motherfucker who was more into tearing bands down.
Giving that kid from Almost Famous advice.
It's so hard to imagine like being at their show in 67 or whatever, to get that context. Like, the recording is so nasty of that first record.
Yeah.
And so aggressive. It must have been polarizing, of course.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we have to, if you put it into context of who is playing.
And also who is popular at the time. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, what does music sound like versus what did they sound like?
Right. So it's like the Archies.
Yeah.
I think the number one song of 1969 was Sugar Sugar.
That song is awesome, and I don't fucking care. Like, that song is great. It's great. It's from the movie Now and Then, which is also great.
From?
Yeah, it's from... It was made for the movie Now and Then.
Okay.
Starring Rosie O'Donnell and Christina Ricci as a young Rosie O'Donnell. Seriously.
Yes. I'm
That's actually true. Oh,
yeah.
But it did heavily feature that song. Yeah, it was about growing up in the 70s.
But if we think about if that's, like, what most of the public is listening to... And then nobody was really playing that loud, that hard, and that fast at that time.
No.
I would say. I mean, people sometimes put the MC5, if not the first punk band, like...
Now, quick clarification. Mm-hmm. The MC5 or MC5? I know that it stands for Motor City 5.
But... Mm-hmm. I think both are accepted.
I haven't what heard.
Are they nominated just as MC5?
As MC5, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of, I mean, it's weird to make the, draw this comparison. It's purely semantic, but the band, it's technically Eagles, not the Eagles, which is weird because you're going to say the Eagles.
Wait, what?
That's weird.
No.
But on every record, it does not say the Eagles. It says Eagles.
No.
Must have been so frustrating for them.
Yeah, gosh.
That was their
now
choice.
Now I know where all that
pent up
anger comes from.
Now alpha male rage comes from.
Now I know why.
We're not the Eagles. We're Eagles.
Oh, God.
Glenn Frey.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Fry. All right. Anyway, so Critical Acclaim. I think they do well in that category. I think they're very highly regarded.
R.I.P.? No, you can't.
They were on the cover of Rolling Stone before they even had an album released.
Excuse me?
Because their live shows were so electric and there was so clearly something happening with this movement that they made it to the cover of Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
I think in 68, which would have been a year before the Kick Out the Jams album.
Wow.
So, Critical Acclaim, they got it.
Maybe not on the second record, but the third record, I think they came back some critical acclaim.
Yes, that's correct. And yeah. Although retrospectively, people have come around on that second record
sure.
as well.
Yeah. I like it.
All right, so let's get into that. Classic albums is the second category. If you have classic albums, that is a good sign. Yeah. I think they have definitely two, which is their first, Kick Out the Jams, which is a live album. That's when you hear him scream, it's Kick Out the Jams, motherfucker. That is from, that's the first track from that. Maybe not the first track, but that's from that album. And then I think the aforementioned Back in the USA, which is their second album, which was misunderstood at the time and was the one John Landau produced,
right,
is considered to be like kind of a monumental record, like early kind of punk record, because it was like 1970. And then they only had three. And then the next one was High Time, which maybe not is at the same level as those other two, but like it's up there. So they're kind of batting three for three.
Yeah.
In terms of albums.
And they were active what years?
So this would have been 69 to 71. Although they were around before. They were around for a while before their first album, you know, doing live shows and being on the cover of Rolling Stone. But yeah, they burnt out pretty quickly because of drug use.
Ah.
They were like heavily, yeah.
I've been listening to a podcast about Detroit in the late 60s. And yeah, about the like heroin trade was...
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to it about the riots and all that.
Interesting. MC5 hasn't come up yet.
No, not yet.
I wonder if they will,
genuinely.
I think there's something to be said about the three records and out mm-hmm. like bangers.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not if you're in that band, but as a fan, that's another reason why I picked them today.
You don't have to watch them suck for a long time.
No.
Or like, you know, they don't have to go through their experimental pop phase or anything.
The burnout, yeah.
Yeah.
Just...
And you were saying that's one of the reasons you picked them.
Yeah. Well, three records is very digestible, and I was just going back through.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can bone up pretty quickly.
You know? Especially if they're punk songs, they're probably
in
pretty
and out,
short.
Yeah. Half hour records.
Yeah.
Right. Minutes.
Yeah. There boom, is something pleasing about knowing that you've heard everything a band's ever recorded.
Yeah.
You know,
I get really completist like that.
Yeah.
Of course, like other record nerds, mm-hmm. but.
My favorite band is Nirvana, and I think part of that might be that, like, I've heard it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Joe, your favorite band is Nirvana?
Yeah.
Have you ever said that on the podcast? I don't think so.
I don't know
I
that
think
I
this
have.
Might be the first wow. time. I think I feel
breaking
like
news.
I feel like I'm learning it.
Yeah.
And
they are my favorite band. And
I did not know
it's
that.
Two of us, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You would put them at the number one? Yeah, they're...
No, there's two of you in the world who have Nirvana as your favorite band, is what you're saying. There's two of you.
Excuse me.
But, like, I have the... You don't have to have a
do
lot of albums.
I do mean pardon me. No, you... Yeah, you can
never mind.
Get them all.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, you get the box set, and then you get three albums, a live album, and a B-side collection, and then you've got it all, baby.
Yeah.
And it's all choice.
Yeah. Man, I guess bands should just, you know, all do drugs.
Burn out. Yeah, do drugs and flame out.
It's the only way to go. I I think I got like one or two more records in me.
Yeah. How many records do you have, Michael?
I have three. I know. So I'm
trying
to
call it.
I might do one more and then burn out. Yeah.
Have a very scheduled burnout. Well, looking on the calendar.
Like a nice public meltdown.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Do you want to start planting the seeds here?
I could.
I mean, we are. I mean, just by mentioning it.
But just by
being on this show.
Yeah.
Right. They'd be like, why did Michael do that?
It's a clear sign of decline.
Mentally, I wonder where he's at. Why would he agree to this? Okay, so after classic albums, which they do pretty well, I mean, two of those, Bag in the USA and Kick Out the Jams, are both on the Rolling Stone top 500 albums of all time, which, you know, there's a clear link between Rolling Stone and the Hall. So like,
wait, they have two albums on the top 100?
Yes, 500.
Oh, okay. I was like, 'cause that's a lot.
100, yeah, that's quite a bit.
That's
two out of the top 500 is still pretty good.
Yeah, to not
for
many...
a band that I didn't know a lot mm-hmm. about.
Yeah.
I'll say myself. I won't say everyone.
Right.
But I mean, I guess I'm part of the state fair crowd. And that's humbling.
I think it's fair not to, you know, MC5. It even as a curious music man growing up, it took me, I think I was 19 or 20 when
what
I first
led
heard
you to them? How'd you get what led you to them?
I think it was probably through the Stooges and then looking back through mm-hmm. there.
Both contemporaries in the Detroit scene.
Are Stooges in?
They are.
They
yes.
are, yeah. But Iggy is not in separate.
Correct.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
I think that's about right. Put in the Stooges and then...
Then just put in Lust for Life in the singles category. Come on.
It's such a strange...
He made that song for the movie Trainspotting.
Oh my God. I gotta go. yeah, that would make sense. They were, and I think, as I recall, the MC5, when they were like close to getting a record deal, they brought the Stooges with them and also got them signed.
Yeah,
on Electro, it was my guess.
Yeah, the
they brought them guys. With them. Like well, you could well, just like grandfather someone in. You could be like, so while you're signing,
I think it was more like the
check it out.
Hey,
it was like the Spotify recommends type thing where it's like if you like MC5, you'll like the Stooges.
Yeah, it was more like Amazon, but yes.
No, it was more like Spotify because it's music.
But I think Amazon invented that. Anyway.
Do you think it invented recommending things based on other things?
With that specific wording? Yes, I do. No, I think they were doing a show like for the record
you
company.
You know what, honestly.
We don't let this go. So here's the thing. Recommendations have a long history.
I would like to get to the bottom of this. Thank you.
I think they did like a show for the record company or for the person at the record company, and they had the Stooges play with them, and then the company was like, oh, we got to take you guys as well. I believe.
I heard the record guy asked Wayne Kramer, he said, are there any other MC5s in Detroit or any other bands that sound like MC5 in Detroit? And he said, absolutely not, but check out the Stooges.
Okay. There.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah. And then, he was smitten.
And then that guy went on to develop the algorithm for Amazon, I guess.
Yep. He was the one who talked about
Smart
planting
guy,
seeds.
Yeah.
All right, next category is iconic songs. I think they have one.
Kick Out the Jam.
All right, guys. I
do you want to listen?
Some music. I really do, because I enjoyed what we played during soundcheck, and I'm interested.
Sure. So I think really the only song that anyone, I would say, knows from the MC5 is... Kick Out the Jams, which is the second track on the live album titled Kick Out the Jams, which is their most
iconic,
which is their most classic album, and this is the most iconic song.
Yeah, this song kicks ass.
It's nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were playing this outside the Democratic Convention in 1968.
Yeah, this is great.
Must have been so.
Was
cool.
It a big deal to say motherfucker in the 68?
Oh boy,
I feel like it probably
it was.
They had that became a controversial thing. There was some like department store called like Hudson's or something that carried records, and they said no, we're not going to carry your record because it says motherfuckers. And they recorded some of them, not all of them, and they didn't want to Kick Out the Jams, Brothers and Sisters. as
Wait,
a thing
excuse
to,
me?
As a thing to put in the record or to put on the radio.
That's like the the radio edit of it. That's like forget
I,
you.
But I don't know. I've never heard it, and I don't know if it's.
You know what they say in the TV edit of what's the one and criminals?
Goodfellas.
No, the one Godfather. Where they're in the lineup.
Sopranos.
No, it's
Usual Suspects.
Kaiser Sus. Okay, thank you. The Usual Suspects. I cannot think of
To
that
be
one.
Fair, the only hints you were giving me was you were waving your hand back and forth.
I was trying to do a
lineup and I had
with
nothing,
my hands.
And you were just kind of just petting the air with your fingers.
I was doing a lineup. I think I was pretty clear,
and
regardless.
Then you said criminals.
And then I was trying to get to the word
good.
Kaiser Sose.
Yeah.
That they say that in the lineup scene, when they have to all go down the line and say, give me the keys, you cocksucker motherfucker, mm-hmm. on the TV edit of it, they say, give me the keys, you fairy godmother.
Oh, boy. That's
that
a
was,
little different.
Yeah. So it's it would exactly be like, kick out the jams, fairy godmother.
I saw Whiplash on a plane for the first time.
Oh, yeah?
That was a heavily edited Whiplash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God. What?
A lot of flipping.
Mother oh. drummer.
Yeah.
I just am like, kick out the jams, brothers. I don't even know how that works.
And no, the syllables don't exactly.
No. It's not good. It's not good.
Yeah. And then, I mean.
What's. Give me some
after
other.
After that, I mean, I've got to say, with this
kick
category.
Out some more jams.
With this category, they do not do well.
Okay.
Just because there's not, I mean, there are good songs.
Do you have like
songs,
an 8-hour long song?
But if we're talking about kind of recognizable songs, you're stretching if you say that anything else here is like recognizable from just someone who's a casual music fan. You know, you're not hearing these songs in Kmart. You're not. but we
oh,
can.
We're really getting into the state fair crowd.
We can throw on. Some tracks that are worth listening
yeah,
to.
I would like to hear some.
And Michael, do you have any that you would recommend? Because I was gonna throw on the first
I'm
track
tell
from
you what's their top on Spotify.
Oh, that's good. I'm gonna throw on the first track from Kick Out the Jams, which is a song called Rambling Rose.
Yeah, great.
That's a good pick.
Great jam.
And I'm gonna jump about 30 seconds in so we can. Even 30 seconds in, there's still just crowd noise.
Yeah, there's a lot of crowd noise on this track. All
right.
The second most popular song on Spotify from them is Looking at You.
Sure. That's one from Back in the USA. Okay. I'm going to jump a little bit further in Ramblin' Rose. Even a minute in, they are truly rambling. there we go. So this kicked out the jams. Or Kick Out the Jams. This was the first track.
Love the falsetto.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that I enjoyed
so
that.
Silly.
I think that's a pretty
yeah.
That's a cool move.
Yeah.
That's like a power move. That's like that's a good move.
Yeah, their lead singer Rob Tyner was a very interesting guy. He was not a typical frontman. He was like a little paunchy and like had a big white guy fro. And he has an interesting way of singing, too. So why don't we... I'm going to throw on Motor City is Burning, which is another kind of pivotal track from this album.
Great. Also predictive.
So this is like a bluesier song, and this is actually a cover.
Oh, yeah.
This is a song that's written by Al Smith. Who I believe ran for president in the 40s.
Whoa.
A different guy.
Yeah, this song is great. I'm enjoying this.
Okay, and you said looking at you. So a lot of these tracks from Kick Out the Jams are loose and, you know, have that kind of energy. And I think they were not super thrilled with Back in the USA, their second album, because it had, like, kind of a production sheen on it. But I think the songs do stand out. So here's Looking at You.
It's a hard like transition to make when you have like the most raging, just ripping guitar record, and then any kind of studio.
It feels like you're
sounds,
taking some
life
out of
then,
it.
Yeah,
yeah,
and like you know, it that was a good move to. If they're such a legendary live band before they even start, to release like a live record right off the top is smart.
Yeah, to give an idea of what the band is.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Like,
this is definitely a much more polished sound, but I like it.
But still hard and rocking.
He's got to turn it up a little more when you listen to it compared to the first
record. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm looking on Spotify and it says their latest release came out June 28th, 2018, and it's called American Ruse.
So that's the American Ruse is the name of a song on Back in the USA. Okay, I'm guessing
the American
that is.
American Ruse came out in.
I'm guessing that's a compilation.
Okay. Well, American Ruse looks to be a single, and it's got a MAGA hat on it, and it says "Take a look around."
What the fuck? hold on, let me take a look at this.
Very strange.
Okay. Well, they are, so the MC5 is, a version of them is touring as the MC50 because they've been around for 50 years.
Oh,
because
they're now in their...
No, they're in their 70s.
Okay.
They've been around for 50 years, but it's only two of the five are still living, and only one of them, Wayne Kramer, is in this tribute kind of performance. And he's doing it with, you know, some dudes from Soundgarden and The Damned and, like, a few other bands. It's kind of a all-star tribute thing going on.
Did Soundgarden get in? No.
No. No.
But they did that whole...
They did a tribute to Cornell after he died, tribute. But he has not. They have not even been nominated.
It was very bad.
And I'm going to also throw on... I mean, the next category is commercial success, which... Sorry, dudes.
Sorry.
Yeah, they did never really broke through, and I think that first album like maybe went to number 30, which isn't bad, but like that's as good as anything ever did, and you know, no singles did well, the albums didn't really sell. So it's one of those bands where it's not about the albums that they sold. It's not about the sales, it's about another category, which we'll get to, influence. But before that, we've talked about it already. Longevity, they burn out quick. Their albums span over 3 years, and they were not even around as a band for much longer than that. So they're not, you know.
What happened after they were done?
So when they were.
Did somebody die? What?
No. It maybe took another 20 years for.
I mean, eventually. Okay. All right. Okay.
Right. I mean, eventually Rob Tyner died.
But like, what fizzled them? You said drugs?
Yes. It was like heroin primarily.
Yeah. Big deal in the late '60s in, Detroit. Mm-hmm.
I know they also had a weird lost period in Europe where they got like, I think busted for drugs in Europe and then got stranded in Europe. Like there's like some real rough stuff going on there. And then they did not play, no version of them played until the lead singer died.
I'm sorry, just really quickly. Does like Don Henley ever say, "Hi, good evening, everyone. We are Eagles."
I don't think so.
I just was thinking. I was like, I could see someone saying, "Like, good evening, everybody. We are MC5, and we're gonna kick out the jams, motherfucker." Like that sounds right to me.
Yeah,
but I cannot imagine Henley on stage.
I bet he says
being
the Eagles.
Like,
I bet it doesn't come up.
Eagles.
Good evening. Welcome. Maybe you could say Eagles fans. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure.
But you couldn't say, "We are Eagles and we're here to take you to the
Pick
Hotel
out the jams.
California." Like you just can't imagine it.
Correct. You're right.
Okay.
You're totally right there.
It would be weird. But those dudes are weird. But again, yeah, they're probably.
I've learned so much about the Eagles on this podcast.
I bet they are so.
More than I ever wanted to know.
I would guess they're so cocky that they wouldn't even bring up their name. Because
they'd be like, good evening, everybody. You know who we are.
I bet they don't even say hi to the audience. I bet it's just. I don't know what
that
you
was
were doing.
The guitar solo in Hotel California.
I see. So you think they start with a solo?
Yes.
Okay.
I think
That's what everyone wants to hear.
Sure, interesting choice, but yeah. Once Glenn Frey's dead, they can do whatever they want. They can finally experiment. All right, so longevity, they're not doing great. Influence.
No. That's like the overture. They're teasing it. They're going to start with that little like bit of the guitar.
Kristen, I have to stop you here before you dig yourself any deeper into this weird Eagles hole. A hole that we don't even need to dig for this episode. Put your shovel down and let's talk about the influence, the category of influence innovation for MC5, which is the category where they score nearly all their points.
They win, yeah.
There's no punk music without MC5. There's, you know, you think about even going to the resurgence of like kind of this type of music in the 2000s with like the White Stripes and the Strokes. I think they owe a lot.
This has that like garage punk feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take very a listen to a song that I think production. You can hear a lot of bands in, which is a song called High School from Back in the USA.
This you can hear a million bands in this.
Yes. So I think a lot of these songs from Back in the USA sound like
Jack
White songs.
Have I heard this song before?
I doubt it.
This sounds like, I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this
delivery,
sounds like...
I think the vocals, especially everything whatever effect is going on the vocals, has a Jack White quality to it. And the way that he kind of records in that... He records as though he's in the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, with like the equipment that he uses. And he's also a Detroit guy, and I know that he has reverence for this band quite a bit.
The White Stripes are not in. They're not
eligible. They're not even eligible. Yeah. And also, I mean, I can't imagine the Ramones song, Rock and Roll High School, existing without this song.
This song came before Rock and Roll High School.
About at least 10 years.
I mean.
There we go.
Okay. Now I'm seeing it. The dots are connecting, and I'm seeing it. I really am. This song is great, and it's fun, and I like it.
Right.
Also,
so,
it's got a groovy ass bass line. I'm like,
they're laying it down.
They're laying it down.
Yeah. So I think they were innovative. Like I said, they were like, they were so hard and fast. They were also super political. They associated with the White Panthers, which
hold up,
which was the white sect,
like
of
the white
Black
allies
Panthers.
Of the
yeah,
Black Panthers.
Exactly.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, it wasn't a response group from the extreme right wing. No.
Good God.
No.
Well, if they can have Black Panthers, why can't we have White Panthers?
No. Which like, feels like something that would happen now. But no,
exactly,
the White Panthers were allies.
That's why I was having
they
a
record
scratch.
They were extremely leftist and very political. And I mean, I think Ramblin' Rose starts with Rob Tyner saying, if you're not a part of the problem, I'm going to look up specifically what he says, because that whole album, their first album, starts with a kind of political call to arms in a way. It's like, if you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem.
That makes sense. I've heard that before.
Let me see exactly. Did they invent it? Probably not.
You guys, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
There you go.
Brothers and sisters, the time has come for each and every one of you to decide whether you're going to be the problem or whether you are going to be the solution. That starts off their very first album.
It's heavy.
Heavy, highly political.
I feel like still relevant, y'all.
Damn. For real? You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that's still a relevant message.
And you know, every political band that comes after them, you know,
well, it's just like, and why isn't there white entertainment television?
I agree. Wait, what?
No.
Hold on.
No, but. No.
All right. So, and then the last category is, does my mom know who they are? And the answer is, I'm not sure.
Wait,
I think
really?
Probably just because they've been...
You think your mom knows who they are?
I think so.
Really?
I think my mom has heard them before.
Are you about to call her live right now, or you can text her? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm gonna text her.
Oh, that's exciting. My mom does not.
I can tell you almost for sure my mother does not. My mom was born in 1961, and so she would have been 7 when this group was out. So, and she definitely wasn't involved in punk music when she was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went on to be like a cool chick, but she's not like
MC5 cool.
Yeah, she's not MC5 cool.
I think my guess is that my mom knows who the MC5 are because her little boy is into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and they've been nominated a few times.
Oh, really? You think that she like goes deep on the nominees, even the people
I think she listens to her son's podcast is what I mean.
Or at least looks at like the episode description.
Right. No, she does. She
I got a yes.
Your mom knows who they are?
I'm going to say, did you know them from the 60s? Cool. Or from me?
I like that your mom responds right away, too. This is great. Yeah. I can ask my mom. She's not going to know.
What's your mom's favorite band, would you say? Do you know?
I mean, like, it's probably the Beatles.
Okay.
I mean,
that's fair.
She was at the right age. You know, I think she was like 11 or 12 when they were on Ed Sullivan, which is like right perfect Beatlemania. Kind of
my mom too. I found all her old records, water damaged in a trunk, but they're all first Beatles records. She was there, man.
Wow. Yeah, my mom was not there.
And my mom loves Paul McCartney. That's her Beatle.
Ooh.
Oh, we've gone and seen Paul McCartney, and he is very good live. If you haven't seen him,
I haven't seen him.
You got it. I've never seen him. 2 or 3 hours of just like nonstop hits. He plays for a long time, and every song you're like, oh, cool, the best song.
I'm trying to think of who my mom's favorite band is. I mean, it used to be Dire Straits way back in the 80s. It was hilarious. Definitely Dire Straits. but she loves like Tom Petty and God, I don't know. Like right now, she's into, I don't know who she's into right now. She loves the blues too. She likes all those.
Woke up this morning.
She loves, Los Lobos is very important. Michael, to my mother.
Who does your mom? Favor.
She's like a classical musician, so that's more of
that's her speed.
She was into the Beatles.
She's a Bach chick.
Bach,
Beethoven, Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
She was into the Kinks when I showed her Kinks.
Love like the that, Kinks.
You know, she
when
likes
you showed her though.
Yeah, well, like melodic, you know, that kind of melodic,
kind of area. Baroque.
They do familiar. Have kind of that.
Some harpsichords and some.
Okay.
I don't know.
It's interesting, the idea of someone your age showing your mom the Kinks instead of the other way around.
Yeah,
it's like the Kinks are one of my dad's favorite bands, and that's how I think of them.
Kinks are like nearly every ex-boyfriend of mine's favorite band.
So we have gone through our categories. Now it's time to make a verdict. Do we think the MC5 should be inducted? Will they be inducted? When? And could it be this year? And Kristen, should we start with you?
You got it. All right, I learned a lot today and I enjoyed it, and I don't know. I think I like this band. I have embraced them, and I think that they should be in, especially considering, like, you bring up the like Jack White point and all of the like the remote, like everybody, it's just insane how important their influence was. I'm down with their politics, so I think yes, they should be. Do I think that they will get in? Boy, oh boy. I don't know about that. They're pretty low on the totem for the fans and probably for many of the musicians in the hall. So I don't think they're going to get in anytime soon.
Yeah.
I think if they do get in, it'll be, I think we're looking at another 10 to 15 years. It's like Jack White is going to get in before they get in, and then he's going to be like, retroactively, let's get them in.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was a pretty informed opinion.
Yeah, well, it seems like you know a lot about this at this point.
Very interesting. I do think that could happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think,
So that's my...
And for this year, you're going to say...
I'm going to say no, I don't think so.
All right. Michael, verdict.
I agree. I don't... They won't make it in. But they should, just based off the name Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
If there was a hall,
if there is a hall
of famous rock and roll,
and you put all the things that influence rock and roll on the walls and give them all awards, they'd be up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what this institution is, and I don't know. I think maybe if they get in, maybe like you said, like 10 to 15 years, and maybe it'll be like a political climate where that becomes important, like their political stuff as well as a band, because I don't know, as the music goes, it I mean, it's really important. It's kind of like simple. It's just really, you know, it's like heavy, heavy rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe part of their like political slant someday down the line will help them get in or something.
Now,
at the very least, keep them alive.
I always suggest this as a means to increasing their popularity. But could a rock doc help them out? I think it could.
To see a documentary about the MC5.
I think that could help them
out. That would be huge. I think there's one that's been made that I was looking today. I think there's one that might come out soon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a, I think it's eminent. I know what you mean. The rock doc would help out like it did with like
Nina Simone. It helped.
Certainly helped. Nina Simone primarily.
Was that Rodriguez movie? The
Oh, yeah.
That was huge.
Yeah, Searching for Sugar Man.
Searching for Sugar Man.
Which didn't get him into the Rock Hall, but got anyone to know who he is at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. I was looking up, I was trying to find an MC5 documentary as well, just to kind of brush up for this episode. And all I could find was like a weird like BBC documentary on YouTube.
Oh yeah, there's always that.
Yeah.
You can always find that.
It was mostly about them reuniting in 2003 and then performing with some people. And that's where I heard like Jack White talk about kind of extolling their virtues.
Right.
But this is from 2018, an article, "Is long-shelved MC5 documentary a true testimonial finally being released?" So it seems like after years in legal and financial limbo, one of the most acclaimed Detroit music films appears ready to see the light of day. Okay. So stay tuned was the most recent message
from. When was this?
This was March 2018.
Oh.
So this year.
Well, okay. We're tuned.
We're on the front lines of this
Could do something. It also could do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't help Whitney, and it didn't help. Did Dr. Dre, is he eligible?
He is eligible. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I felt like the Defiant Ones
could have helped his case.
Yeah,
he's in with NWA, which makes me think that they're sitting on that for a little bit.
Do you think that?
Also, Nina Simone got in a few years after her documentary. It was not immediate, so
it
might take a few.
Okay.
Do you think that Snoop Dogg will get in before Dr. Dre? I mean, because to me, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
And I think it's a toss-up. I think it could go either way.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I do think that Snoop will get in before Dr. Dre because people will use the NWA. I don't know. Wow. And you know what? Why do I care?
You do, and it's fun. I think that the MC5 should be inducted, obviously for the reasons we have gone over. Will they be inducted? I am torn, because they've been nominated 4 times, which means that their name is going to keep coming up.
Times in a row? It's like the last 3 years.
Not in a row, but it's the last 3 years, and then in 2003.
Do you think that if they don't get in this... I'm sorry, I interrupted
It's okay.
But I'm continuing.
Please.
Do you think that if they don't get in this year that we're due for another like long hiatus like in nominating them? Because it was like 2003 and then 16, 17, 18.
If we give them 3 years in a row, I don't know about...
And they don't get in, then we give them a decade off again. Then we go back.
Another band...
It's 15 years later that they... Or, you know, 13 years later they start getting in... nominated again.
That's an interesting pattern to recognize. One thing is that I wouldn't be shocked if Morello is also bringing them up in the committee, just because it's like what is MC5 if not, you know, Rage Against the Machine in the 60s.
Yeah, I could see that connection really strong.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's
a good point.
But I also have a hard time imagining any list of 15 nominees where MC5 makes it in the top 5. If I think about the way the voting body happens and the way they behave, I think of any...
The way they behave. Behave.
If I just think of any possible list of 15 nominees, is there is there any list of 15 where MC5 would be in the top 5? Because they're such an underdog. And they have such a dark horse.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a rock doc or like basically Jack White getting on television and being like, I stole everything I did from this band.
Yeah.
Like,
and then maybe the other thing.
Naming his next album, induct the MC5.
The other thing I could see happening is we get all the rock guys in and the nominee list starts to become more R&B and hip hop. And the
people are like, we can't have this.
Yeah. I mean,
the classics.
It gets into their fucking craw, the voting body. They're like, well, I either have to vote for LL Cool J finally or MC5. And then they break for MC5. That's one scenario I can see.
I like that theory. That's a good theory.
Wow. Also,
I don't like that theory because I think hip hop should be given more.
It's kind of racist.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't enjoy that theory. Yeah. I think it's
a sound one.
It's
though.
It's sound.
Yeah.
It supports its logic.
Yeah.
But he doesn't support its logic.
Exactly. Right.
That'll be really interesting in a few years.
I feel like that could happen.
Well, I mean, we're really cleaning out the barrel as far as, although we didn't put the foreigners not on the list or, you know.
I mean, God bless the nominating committee for keeping bands like Foreigner and Bad Company off the list. And hopefully,
so far.
Hopefully that's a trend that continues, but who's to say? They might lead the poll at the museum next year, and then that spells doom for all of us.
Should we try to endorse somebody to take the top of the, not that we have any sway, but
yes,
like
100% we should lead the charge.
We should lead the charge to like get someone to the top of that like list so that it could just, you know.
Yes, that's a great thing. And I'll say this to our listeners now to remind us, once all the induction stuff is done and they start the museum kiosk poll over.
When do they redo it? After
the
induction?
I have no idea. I would assume it's right after the induction.
Okay.
But it might be after they list the inductees. I don't know.
Okay.
But yeah, cool.
So we should, we'll come up with an endorsement and then we'll try to flood the polls. We'll try to get out the
mobilize.
Vote.
We'll mobilize.
So just this is a grassroots endorsement.
Effort. Yeah. Okay. From the pod.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Wow.
All right. But
this
let's.
This is the first time I've tried to like.
you've really taken your role seriously. Almost too seriously.
No.
All right. Responsibility.
So it is.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are Eagles. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if they're going to get inducted. I don't think it's going to happen soon. I think it's going to be at least 10 years.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. I think it'd be cool if they got in sooner than that, within 10 years, but I don't know.
It'd be a big surprise. It's just like influence. It's their influence, which is huge, versus the album sales or critical
and
or
name
all
recognition.
That.
Sometimes is what it comes down to. All right, but let's say they get in. Let's say they get in this year. Who should induct them?
Ooh, I mean Jack White.
Jack White's a great choice. I think Neil Young is also an interesting choice because he was around.
Famous coward Neil Young. Yeah.
He finally right his
them
wrong.
Let play for 8 hours while he didn't do while he stood on the sidelines
just
and
cowering.
Watched Detroit burn.
Just shivering, cowering.
He can. That was in Chicago, though.
No, it was in Chicago.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
But there were race riots happening in Detroit in '68 as well.
Whatever.
Whoa.
I tried to think of what the funniest response to that could be. And I thought it was whatever. Okay. I obviously do not believe that. Neil Young would be an interesting choice.
Your boy Tom could do it.
Morello. Yeah.
Tommy M.
I was going to say Iggy Pop.
Ooh.
Would be a good one.
That would be the perfect one, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Iggy Pop shirtless inducting the MC5.
Mm-hmm.
They're buds.
They are buds, and their stories are intertwined.
Yeah.
And then like the cast of Trainspotting. I'm not gonna say anything. I'm done.
Wow. Yeah. We'll let that one sink in for a little bit.
Why is it funny to me? I'm sorry, everybody.
I think those,
but I'm done apologizing.
Those are all good choices.
Who do you choose, Joe?
Do you think Landau? Jack White makes the most sense to me. They tend not to put like journalists up there. It's usually somebody famous. So I would say Jack White or Iggy Pop, I think are pretty good choices.
Eddie Vedder, Bono.
I mean, if we want to look at the Hall getting it wrong, which they do often, then like Kid Rock.
What? Oh my God.
He's got rock right in the name.
He's got rock in the name.
Yeah.
And he's from Detroit.
There you go.
Ostensibly.
So Kid Rock has inducted a lot of people.
He has?
Yes.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. And I think it's because Ahmet Erdogan really liked Kid Rock.
Does he still like it? There's a picture.
He's dead.
Actually,
Ahmet Erdogan's dead.
Oh, yes. In the Cleveland airport. Oh, I don't know if I took a picture of this. There is on a mural in the Cleveland airport of like Rock Hall stuff. Uh-huh. And one of it, it's like picture, it's a photo mural. It's not like a drawn, a painted mural of going down the halls. And one of the big giant pictures is of Kid Rock performing with Run DMC. And he's in a fucking Adidas tracksuit. And it's...
Kid Rock shows up a lot. I mean... He's inducted Cheap Trick, Aerosmith, and Lynyrd Skynyrd.
But wow. Do you think, are we banning him now? Is he done?
I mean, Cheap Trick was inducted a few years ago.
Okay, but I mean...
They asked him. So what I'm saying is, like, Kid Rock is still... I mean, they asked...
Is Kid Rock going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. But
eventually.
Like we were saying...
Before LL Cool J does. I mean, let's be honest.
Well,
yeah. We need to have white guys who used to rap first.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like a weird nightmare scenario. But here's the deal, though. Kid Rock tends to give good speeches, and he gave a really good one for Cheap Trick a few years ago.
Yeah, he gives great speeches in support of Trump right now. I hate him.
Borp. Okay, and then some version of MC5 plays. You could still get Machine Gun Thompson on drums. He's still alive. And then you get Wayne Kramer on guitar. You get two out of the MC5. And then, you know, throw in Morello and maybe, I don't know, De La Rocha. Like, there's people you could throw in to perform with them. Or Jack White. Yeah, no doubt. Okay.
Get No Doubt in there to perform.
Yeah.
Have Gwen Stefani on vocals.
So they get to perform every ceremony. The bands that get inducted generally play a set of about three songs.
Okay.
So what is that set? I think obviously they have to play Kick Out the Jams.
Mm-hmm. Kick Out the Jams. I think, did we play it earlier?
They have a cover. I mean, Back in the USA is a Chuck Berry song. It is the name of their album, and it is also a cover they do. And I think that is appropriate for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to play the song Back in the USA.
That's huge.
Okay, wait. So this single, American Ruse, that was released in 2018 is by
American
Delicate
Ruse
Steve,
is good.
Wayne Kramer, and MC5. Who's Delicate Steve?
Someone who is filling in for one of the dead members of MC5 has got to be my guess.
I know Delicate Steve.
Wait, what? Okay.
He's a, an indie rock performer. I don't know. He's like he's a young guy.
Okay. Do you know him personally?
Yeah, I've played shows together. And
stuff. Oh, okay. Great. Wow. I truly thought Delicate Steve was someone we would never know the identity.
Delicate Steve.
I'm imagining that he's
a very nice guy.
That he is playing.
I'm curious what this name is.
Delicate Steve.
The role of Rob Tyner. Should I throw on the Delicate Steve version?
Yeah. Kick out the jam, motherfucker.
And they're doing which, American Ruse?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
American Ruse would be a good
third
shortlist. Yeah.
All right.
See with the hat that says look around you, or what is it?
Take a look around, which is one of their. This is our man, Del Steve.
Del Steve.
And Wayne Kramer, the original guitarist and the guy who's kind of carrying the torch for MC5 at this point, is playing on this. On the cover of his own song.
So this is a cover of
an MC5
that they
song.
Did.
Yes.
So they're re-releasing it because it feels timely.
Yes, I suppose. This was posted by Anti Records, June 2018. All right. Cool. So that's a good choice. I mean, if you want to hear I have a feeling the original sounds a lot like that.
I like the raw production on this one.
Yeah.
It's more. Yeah, I like this. I prefer it.
You prefer the MC5 version?
Yes, I do.
Damn. She went for it. But then the Back in the USA, like I was saying, it's a Chuck Berry cover. And would be appropriate. So, yeah.
I think they would play that.
I think Chuck Berry's the first person ever inducted into the hall.
Oh.
So I think it's like a tip of the hat to the history aspect of it. Kick Out the Jams, Back in the USA, maybe Ramblin' Rose, maybe Motor City's Burning, because that like has a lot of political... Yeah.
Man, this kicks ass. I'd be really happy if they got in. That'd be great.
It would be good.
I don't think it'll happen.
Will
but
it happen?
Boy, would I
Who
be
knows?
In a righteous world.
But yeah, if it happens this year, we'll be there. you're coming with us, Michael.
Yes.
Yeah, if it happens, you're coming.
Yeah. That's
the contract that you sign when you walk in here.
Congrats. We're going to New York.
All right.
It'll be at the Barclays Center.
It's going to be in New York this year and not in Cleveland, so.
Has it always been in Cleveland?
It's every other year.
Okay.
So this is a good year.
Where apparently the bands will be pretty good and the induction will be in New York City.
Yeah. It'll be pretty fun. The Big Apple.
A place where we know more.
you clearly must have been there before.
No, I've been there.
What was that term you just used? Wait, some sort of big.
The Big Apple.
Oh, yeah. So you must be an expert.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the Big Apple.
Oh.
I got to write that down.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We'll say that going forward.
This year it's going to be in the Big Apple.
Yeah, let me try it. The Big Apple. Good?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Okay, thanks. So yeah, I'm trying.
Locals.
speaking of other cities, Michael, are you, if you want to plug any shows you got coming up, Are you on the road anytime soon?
I'm not really on the road right now. I'm playing some shows around LA here. I've been writing a lot.
We got a new record coming out, potentially?
Yeah.
Fourth record.
Yeah.
Before the burnout.
Yeah. The last record. I think I'll try to map some of the burnout into the record to keep it organic.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Like the last couple songs kind of get off tempo. I'll just be around Los Angeles and eventually next year playing some shows with Ty Segall.
Oh, great.
Did mostly that this year and just writing my own stuff. So nothing really exciting to promote right now, but I'll be bouncing around.
Where can people find out about you? If they want to hear your music, if they would like to know when your shows are, what's your internet presence like?
Well, I have to make sure to get the domain again. MichaelCronin.com. My card just expired, so I have to get on that. Or Instagram and Twitter, and there's a Facebook page, all Michael Cronin, MIKAL.
Right.
I've been light on the social media lately, but I'll start posting stupid pictures and stuff again soon.
And this will get you back.
Yeah.
This will get me back.
Yeah. This is it.
You'll have to say I'm on the spot on the podcast. <Yeah. laughs>
It'll be my first tweet in a few months.
Yeah, you'll have to activate your army of followers.
Yeah.
Crone bones.
Crone bones.
The crone bones.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Welcome to the Crone Zone.
And your music and albums are available on iTunes, right?
iTunes.
Anywhere you can get music,
your local record store.
Yeah.
If they don't have it, tell them to get it.
Yeah. Ooh. Call them up.
Yell. Well, yell and scream. Throw a fit.
Please. Say we are Jones and for Cronin.
Yeah, listen.
Jones and
we
for
got the Crone Jones.
Crone's
Jones.
Yeah.
We're in the...
We're coming up with gold.
Good evening, clearly. Everyone. I'm the Michael Cronin.
All right, Kristen, you got anything?
You can find me at KStud across all social media platforms. If you go to my website, hellokristen.com, you can find where my next shows are. I'm going to be doing a bunch of just shows around
Locals.
LA recent in the coming weeks. And then, I got my show at the Comedy Central stage on December 6th.
12/6.
It would be very cool
if
a
you
lot
all
of
showed up,
there.
Everyone who listened to this
if
show
every
show
single,
up.
If every person who listens to this show just got a free ticket to that.
It is free.
It is free.
It's free at the Comedy Central stage.
Yes.
You can find me at JoeK on Twitter, at JoeKwa on Instagram, and I will be headlining the Velveeta Room in Austin on November 2nd and 3rd. I'll be doing some other shows.
That's the last weekend before the election?
The election, correct. Ooh. So I will be out there canvassing for Beto.
I'm not kidding. You better. I am not joking.
I'll bring them up during my set of people
who
are
that'll really
voters.
Help, I'm sure.
They're likely voters. Great. Well, rate and review us on iTunes. We appreciate it. Five stars only. Subscribe. If you have questions, thoughts, if you want to scream at us, if you want to sing at us, rockhallpod@gmail.com.
It's pretty hard to sing in an email, but I think you can find a way.
Music note emojis in there, and I think you're solid.
Yeah, and maybe use italics.
Yeah, that'll help.
An attachment.
Ooh.
Dare I say.
That's
voice
fun.
Memo.
Ooh, yeah,
hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Email.
Yeah.
Come on.
It works.
Get
yeah.
together.
You hit the little arrow, and it says, where do you want to send this to? And you click on the mail.
Just say, I love the pod.
and saying, yeah, I love the pod. You know, for example.
For example. Also, yeah, if you want to send us reminders in the future that we're going to try to endorse a candidate and mobilize our listeners.
Mobilize the troops.
Yeah. Also, please, everybody, vote. I say it every week now. But Jesus Christ, vote.
Go to the museum and vote.
Nope.
We want to thank Ted Tramper, Luz Fole, Natalie Garcia Mayor, and Betts the Dog for opening their doors, letting us use their equipment. We want to thank Yusu Kim for the music, Mike Lloyd for the logo. Thank you guys so much. This does continue our special coverage of the 2019 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominee announcement and eventual induction. I'm Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Stutter.
And who cares
about their Rock Hall?